T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mully and Henley, up early to start your day with Chicago sports talk.
Boy, you guys are ready. You guys are fired off the questions.
Time to catch you up on this morning's show so far.
Gosh, the Bears. Here's the problem. They've made all their picks, and by the way, they released everyone they signed last year. It's just one of these things where I really, honest to God, hope that the new head coach can make an impact with this offense and that these players that they've signed can also make an impact. I'm no longer hoping they draft a kicker with the 8th overall pick. They got to get a pass rusher. They need more picks.
Quentin Nelson, I've kind of talked myself in.
You know, I told you, guy told me this is Pro Bowler this year.
I haven't heard.
Hall of Famer. Hall of Famer. No, how do you project that?
Haven't heard a bad word about him, and then you hear those words. It's like you got
to. Very hard. But he'll be gone.
But if he's there.
You know why he'll be gone? Hall of Famer.
Three words. Hall of Famer. Get people's attention.
Mully and Henley.
What the hell's going on in this show?
Taking you to work every morning from 5 to 9.
I got my Ramblers in the Final Four. I know they're not going there. When I say Loyola, you just think Virginia, okay? But I've got Michigan State beating Loyola in the championship, or Virginia, depending on how you want to look at it. I would have them win the tournament over Villanova, but that is absurd.
You can only take fantasy basketball so far.
I'm basically calling Virginia Loyola for the purposes of this conversation. If I'm confusing you, imagine what's going on in my head.
I said the other day, what the hell is going on?
What's up, Chicago?
Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. I'm still scratching out names. I've got time. It's only 7 in the morning. We don't have to have those until 11, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
4 hours.
That's great. I can do that thing 6 times over.
The Hokies of Loyola.
The problem, honestly, is Boomer now has ruined my buzz, right? I mean, as if it's not bad enough. Nobody was on this team, and now you got Boomer picking him.
What the hell does Boomer know about college basketball?
It means someone told him. That's the point.
Tiki?
No, a sharp. Boomer's got connections. Are you kidding me?
Oh, he used to.
Well, who knows? Oh, boy.
His connections are waiting trial right now.
That'll hit me on the way home.
You got to get your tickets, too, supposedly, allegedly.
Oh, wow.
At least that was the front.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. That poor guy or the poor people that I don't know how to feel about it. I mean, you know, it's a rough old business there, pal.
There's no payment plan, right?
312-644-6767 is the telephone number. You got the story of the day, of course, March Madness, which, by the way, that is a Illinois High School Association term. Did you know that?
Yeah, trademark.
March Madness was created in the state of Illinois about the basketball tournaments, and it wasn't – it's just been co-opted for the NCAA tournament, but March Madness refers specifically to.
Did they make sure Illinois never uses it anymore because it's theirs?
Because there's only one team in it.
Yeah. No, because you know, NCAA.
But I'm saying it was created over the the IHSA tournament,
right? And so the
NCAA. And in fairness, doesn't the NCAA leak into April?
Yes, they
so
do.
It's not even March Madness. The whole thing is the whole sham has been exposed now.
We'll have a blue ribbon panel look at that. See, get the bottom of that.
Oh, all right. So it's a big day to go home and to watch games or to go to a local establishment and meet people and have some fun watching the tournament. There's nothing quite like going out to Sin City, where Brian will be this evening.
I'm on the plane. Of all the times they schedule Loyola, I'm on a plane during that. Now I can watch it.
Are you really? You're on a plane during the game?
I can watch it on the plane.
How can you watch it on the plane?
Wi-Fi.
Really?
Yeah.
Look at you. What? So just to help those of us that don't have the coin to watch. You go on Google in a Gugu InFlight or something. Is that what it is?
Yeah, Gogo, right?
Gogo. I'm sorry,
right.
Gugu. The Gugu dolls.
That's the baby flight.
Gogo InFlight, and because all I ever do is look up reservations and start plotting new reservations. I've never purchased it. Do you have an account with them, or do you?
You can buy it per flight, or if you travel all the time, you can buy it monthly, or, you know, like back in the day when we were flying three times a week, you would get a monthly or yearly pass, I assume. But yeah, and before, in the early stages of it, you couldn't stream things, right? I mean, it didn't have the capacity to stream a video. Huh. But I assume that, you know, once you get it on Wi-Fi at altitude,
you'll be able to download the game.
Because every game is streaming, right?
Yeah.
So I'll be able to watch the Ramblers. I'll just put my dog in the overhead bin, and then I'll sit down and watch the game.
Do you watch it on CBS?
I think, is it going to be...
Where is it streaming?
Is it true? TBS? All the games are on the different...
But I'm saying, do you go... Like, I have a CBS account. Like, I pay... I think one was $5.99 a month and one was $9.99.
No, that's their premium TV shows.
Yes.
I think all the shows, all the games are...
Oh, they're all for free.
Yeah, available for free.
Because I thought you had to double pay. I got that thing for Star Trek. What is it? What's the Star Trek, the new Star Trek series? And I haven't watched I watched it religiously, and then Discovery. It was awesome, the first half of it. And then the second half, I just stopped watching it for some reason. And I think I'm going to have to cancel the account because I'm not watching. The only reason I figured, okay, I'll watch it and then I'll get rid of the account the minute the series is done. And then I found out that I'm not, you know.
It's not that good?
I know, it's really good. I only have it on one device. It's my little handheld, you know, phone. And it's like a pain in the rear end to watch it. I can't remember what the bloody password is to put it on my other device. And I'm so lazy I can't look it up. So I'm just going to cancel it. And I'm just sitting there like, at some point that series will be on, Netflix, and I'll just watch it on Netflix. But
I laugh because
it's absurd.
You come to this decision, okay, do I try to
I'm going
to
reward myself by watching I love all I love Star Trek. I've seen every series, every episode since I was a little kid, and I'm like, okay, you got a new one? I'm on board. You got me. And
organized people have their password manager, and they can look up because you use different, ostensibly, yes, you're supposed to use different passwords for different things.
Right.
But
I use a variation of the same thing.
But I'm like you. Before getting locked out, it's like, okay, do I hit forget password and then jump through all the hoops?
Exactly.
I've got a window
of 45 minutes. Yeah. By the time I get the password, I'm already expired.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's really, at that point, you make a decision. Is it worth it? Usually not.
I want to go back to my childhood where you had like four channels.
Stop with this texture.
We had a black and white TV. Now that is not representative of my age. It is of my my financial situation as a child.
Here's a commentary.
We had the last black and white TV.
Texter 67011, Star Trek redundancy. I don't think that's the actual name.
It's a good one. Let's try John. John's in Joliet. Good morning, John.
Good morning, guys. You know, I take 2 days off for vacation every year at this time of the year. I just give me last second buzzer beaters, sweaty coaches, and screaming announcers, and I'm in love with the TV for about almost 2 weeks. And this year I've finally given up on listening to the pros. I let my granddaughter pick my mascot.
Now, John, if memory serves, you hit big on the squares at Super Bowl,
yes,
right?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. So you, I figured...
You're parlaying that big bonus, right?
I figured my six-year-old granddaughter, she says, whatever one looks the strongest, that's the team she picked. So,
Sparty?
What the hell?
You got Sparty?
Oh, I got the Zubaz laid out and Purdue Boilermakers to win it.
Okay, the big hammer. All right, and the big train.
I think Loyola has replaced... They used to have Bo Rambler, who was like this big, giant bum. And honestly, someone's, I think they lost the suit or someone stole the suit or I don't know what happened to it, but they ended up, and it was hilarious because I've told you the story before, Bo Rambler, the guy who was Bo Rambler when I was in school, he had gotten jumped by Billy Blue Demon in the previous year. So he was like, he had, you know, blood. He had fire in his blood. And he hit the weight room. He was on the track team to begin with. He hit the weight room. He kind of like built himself
really
up.
He was really ticked off at
he
Billy
was
Blue
really
Demon.
Picked, and so he comes out. The next time they played DePaul, he'd been working out for a year. I'm not even joking. Like, you know, Sylvester Stallone, the raw eggs and the whole Rocky routine. He was so serious about getting back at Billy Blue Demon. And so we're watching the game on TV, and he had this, like, he had this little suitcase because he was a bum, and he brought the suitcase. It had a giant, boxing glove in it. So he comes out. He opens up his suitcase. He puts on this boxing glove. Billy Blue Demon like squares off with him and whap, catches one
down
right in the face.
Down goes Billy.
Down goes Billy. Bo Rambler throws off the glove.
Now it's on for real.
And now he's literally holding up his mask and punching him in right in the face. I mean, he beat the hell out of Billy Blue Demon. And the announcers on the game are like, oh, there, look at the mascots. Like, ha, ha. And then the guy's like, hey, they're really going at it. Like, it was, I mean, if you had known the guy who had worked out all year,
it was hysterical.
Time. Yeah, I'll show him.
Boy, I hate when
mascots go wrong.
Whoa.
Yeah.
It's bad.
When a mascot goes bad, that was one of a Far Side cartoon years ago where like a guy was opening up the refrigerator and it says when mayo goes bad, and like there's the ketchup and the mustard with little hands up and the mayo's holding the gun on him.
David's Dustin's favorite condiment.
If it was bad as soon as it went in the jar and got in your fridge.
Man won't eat mustard. It's not mustard,
mayonnaise.
It's mayo. Yeah, he hates mayo. Yeah.
Not a big mustard guy either.
Really?
Or ketchup.
You don't like mustard?
I like barbecue sauce.
You don't like mustard?
No.
Do you have any idea how many types of mustard there are?
Yes, I used to. On a proper hot dog, yeah, I'll do the whole.
Gene and Jude's? Or
Yeah. Do the whole shebang.
Just what do you think? Dustin can't surprise you anymore.
No.
He comes out as anti-condiment.
But if I go to Subway, if I eat fresh at Subway, I get all the veggies, a couple of jalapenos or jardiniere, one or the other, a little vinegar and oil in the seasoning. No mustard, no mayo, no chipotle this or sriracha that. And it's fine. Everybody else, enjoy it. I left it there for you. You can have mine.
312-644-6767. Yeah.
You're going to eat your mayo? No, go ahead.
That's great. All right, we're going to bring in.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah, we're going to bring in Shannon Ryan next. She's on the beat with the Ramblers. They're good enough that they're actually being covered again. You know who covered the Ramblers years and years ago? Dan Pompey. Dan Pompey went from Loyola, I believe in 85 when they had their tournament run, to the 85 Bears and has been covering the Bears ever since. Is that unbelievable?
Maybe he took the mascot suit.
It's a wolf now, so it's
really? You
know, I guess, slightly more terrifying. But here's the problem. The strength of the wolf lies in the pack. You can't have one wolf as a mascot. He's too big a loner. You need to get, like, 10 of them. Molly and Hanley on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Molly and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score. That is the voice of Porter Moser, the Loyola head coach, and we're delighted to welcome in Shannon Ryan. She is in Dallas covering Loyola for the Chicago Tribune. Good morning, Shannon. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine. How are you guys?
Well, I am very excited as a Loyola alum to see the Ramblers in the tournament for the first time in 33 years. I had a buddy who wants to get together. It's my wife's birthday today, so I can't get together with him to watch the game. But he said, if they win, we got to do it Saturday because we'll be in our 80s when they get the tournament again. once every 30 years. But it's a very exciting team, and it's a fun team to watch. They're becoming a little too trendy of a pick today. I'm not sure I'm comfortable with that, but I know you picked them, and I think they're going to win. But it's worrisome because I really know very little about Miami other than they got a really good coach and they got good athletes.
Yeah, even Barack Obama picked Loyola. I mean, everybody has picked them at this point. So I think they're definitely the trendy pick, and they haven't been used to being favored this year, like that clip you played of Coach Porter Moser talking about just, you know, that there was all that pressure of them not being able to possibly even get into the tournament, and they were kind of under the radar all year, and now just they seem to be a little bit the toast of the town in Chicago and a CBS crew's embedded with them. So they're getting more attention than they've ever had in their lives.
Well, Shannon, you've been around a lot of different college programs and teams and some legacy programs where they expect to go every year. Can you get a kind of an early snapshot on Porter keeps talking about, you know, these kids come from winning high school programs. They recruited targeted kids who are used to winning and used to being on the biggest stage at that level. Can you get a handle on whether they're anxious, confident? You know, how would you just best describe this team to this point?
Yeah, I mean, they're a bunch of pretty level-headed seeming guys. They've seemed pretty loose here. Like I said, they had that pressure of having to win the Missouri Valley to get in, and that didn't seem to really bother them too much. But I think the thing, you mentioned them being mostly from winning programs, state championship players, but the thing I go back to is that Florida game. They weren't on the road at Florida this year, and I think that was probably a great test for them now, or an experience that they can call on now, because that game at Florida, it was a true road game, and I remember talking to players afterward, and they said, you know, they could feel the floor vibrating under them, and because the crowd was so loud, and just the atmosphere was so intense there, and that was probably the biggest stage for a lot of those guys at that point. So, you know, I think that's going to matter. But they do seem like just a pretty loose guys, and they're, you know, they've kind of embraced this, and it's interesting to watch coaches at this time of year. Some guys are like robots, you know, and the coaches just want the players to be complete robots and not have any fun, and we don't care about anything unless we cut the nets down. And Loyola seems to be kind of striking a balance and, you know, not getting too caught up in the hoopla, but at the same time, you know, the Blackhawks hosted them and they're getting messages from, you know, Cubs players, and they're having a good time with it too, which is, you know, kind of nice to see. It is fun for them. So it seems like they're striking the right balance. But we'll see this afternoon.
Yeah, we'll get a much better feel for it, Shannon. Yeah. You know, you've done great work covering this team. I thought it was very interesting talking to Milton Doyle, because here's a guy that is the program's first NBA player, and he's got a two-way contract. He's with the Long Island Nets in the whatever the old CBA, the G League. I don't even know what they call it.
Yeah, G League.
And of course, did get to play in the NBA, and that was their biggest recruit in a really long time. He went to Kansas, and I think he did a preseason tour in Italy or something, and ended up transferring back to Loyola and never played at Kansas. I think he realized that wasn't going to be a part of it. But, you know, when you look at teams and you start predicting success, obviously you need guards. Obviously, you know, you like to have some experience, but future pros is a big one. And the best player they've had in a long time is gone, and now they're a significantly better team. It's very interesting to see that the kind of sum of the parts is better than any one individual player.
Yeah, I mean, Loyola definitely embraces that, or that's kind of their bread and butter. I mean, they're just having watched them this year, it's true that really you hear teams say this, but that any game, it's kind of a different player. If you watch them to the Missouri Valley, you know, it was different players making big shots, Dante Ingram or Ben Richardson just hitting a really timely three-pointer. Right. But all these players, they have five different players averaging double figures, but no one on the team averages more, not even 14 points a game, so between like 10 and 13 points a game. But they're all really good shooters. They all share the ball. They have a really high assist stat, and they're all shooting, as a team, they're shooting 50.7% from the floor and 40% on three-pointers. So they do have, and I think Porter he's recruited to the system or what he thinks works, you know, finding guys who are mismatches, finding guys who are kind of have that unselfish nature, you know, good passing, good defenders. Loyola's a really good defensive team. So, yeah, it is. It's a team where you just I think it's really hard for opponents because, you know, you've got to guard everybody.
Yeah, and, you know, they have weathered different injuries, even when guys were playing with injury. You know, Clayton Custer, even in the conference tournament on the Friday game, turns an ankle or is playing with a bad ankle. And, he, you know, his scoring's off, but other get up the pieces. I don't know that you have that luxury or the margin of error to do that in the NCAA game, but at least you don't rely on just one or two guys to put the ball in the hoop, that there are, you know, you do have depth in scoring, but I think to win today, win a couple games, hopefully you're going to have everyone pretty much near their A game.
Yeah, I mean, Miami is, they were third in the ACC. They're no joke. You know, I know nobody's picking them, but they were third in the ACC, and they've got better length. They're much more athletic, I think. They've got a future NBAer in their freshman guard, Lonnie Walker. They are missing their guard, Bruce Brown, is out, who averages 11 points a game, and it's one of their better players and is out with injury. And he's been out for a while, but people thought he might be coming back. So, you know, it's good Loyola's got some maybe a depth advantage there, but Miami's got a lot of guys that can shoot too.
Yeah, it's going to be, we were talking about, they're a high, screen team, and they're going to try to pull Krutwig away from the basket and then try to win one-on-one and drive past the Loyola defenders. So it's going to be very interesting to see if they can stay in front of them and if they can get outside. Krutwig's a very interesting player because he is a load in the middle. But he's not over. I mean, he's 6'9". He can pass the ball. He's not kind of above the rim type of guy. But he can score. He's got a lot of nifty little moves inside. He's left-handed, which always confuses players at the college level. Maybe not so much in the pros. I think that his performance is going to be key. And you write today about Andre Jackson, who is their basically their sixth man. He may end up playing a lot of minutes depending on how the matchups work out.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, and he's an interesting guy. Just came from JUCO, Andre Jackson, and forward. But like I said, I mean, he's one of those guys, kind of like Dante Ingram, too, that play the quote in my story that Porter Moser says is, you know, he wants guys who play bigger than they are, not smaller than they are. Andre Jackson's 6'5", and but, you know, they can have a, you know, he can be quicker than a lot of the guys trying to guard him. And like you mentioned, Krutwig, he's not like an overpowering, he's a load, but, you know, he's not this overpowering, most physical guy that you're going to see in the tournament. But just like he has all these other skills, like you mentioned, just a really great passer, and favorite player is Larry Bird, and he's a 6'9" center. But it's interesting just because he's got all these other skills other than just being that, you know, low post player.
He knows how to play the game. Shannon, thank you. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
That's Shannon Ryan from the Chicago Tribune. And, it's an interesting combination of players, but it's not like NBA-loaded roster. So that would seemingly be something you have to have. And I don't know, Joe. I don't like everyone picking them.
You sound so nervous.
I'm very nervous. They haven't played in a long time.
It's good.
And it's going to be 30 years until they
But it's great to have an emotional investment in a team.
It is. You know, I would love to have them make a run just because it makes the tournament more interesting for me. And I honestly don't know what to do with all my emotions because it hasn't happened in so long.
And Molly, I'm there with you now. Not only will I be on the plus just 1.5 today, but I just got an email. I'm in this last man standing pool and you get four teams. I got Loyola.
Oh, boy. Look at this. Can I go halvesies on that one,
Joe?
Come
on. Give them a taste.
Hey, we're going to bring in Joe Fortenbaugh next. If he picks Loyola, I'm definitely getting off him.
I'm jumping. I'm Miami to the moon. Alice?
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Molly and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Joe Fortenbaugh, 95.7 The Game. The Sharp 600 Podcast. Our man in San Francisco. Our man in Vegas by way of San Francisco. It's a long story. Good morning, Joe. How are you, my friend?
Gentlemen, it's been a little over a month, but obviously, seeing as this being a national holiday, it's great to be reunited with you. Thank you so much for inviting me on the program.
Are you
going to spend any part of the holiday in Vegas? I'm heading out there today if you're going to be out there.
I heard that. Dustin just told me I will not be down there this year. The kid is now 13 months.
That's old enough. He just tossed the keys to the condo let's go. The kid can take care of it.
I will say this. If you've never done March Madness in Vegas, it's absolutely a bucket list item. But then I'll throw this out there as well. Once you've tried it a couple times maybe, don't be shy about going the second week rather than the first. This week is all about the chaos. It's beautiful. But next week, the games start later in the day. It's less crowded. It's easier to get seats. You can play a little golf in the morning. You can hit the spa. You can hit the pool. And then you can work your way in for the games. Once you get dialed in after doing the first week a couple times, go out and try the second week. It is a very leisurely experience.
That is exactly what our crew has done, Joe. It started out as going for the obvious fun of the tournament and the opening round, and it is great. But the second week is so much better because the crowds are thinned out, and you can actually get in a cab without waiting 7 hours, and it's a different world altogether. You can move around a lot easier.
Who leaves the hotel?
Sometimes you got to cash a ticket at a different sports book, right?
Yeah, you're usually like, I still have three $1 chips from Caesar's Palace that I'm holding on to because I know at some point I'm going to be back in there. I am not giving those chips up. So I still have these three random $1 chips from the last time I was in there years ago.
I got one from the Desert Inn. Does that still count?
You can cash it in at the Stardust.
Oh, okay.
So, Joe, let's get to the NCAA tournament. We're looking at a lot of different teams. There's a lot of fun today. We got 16 games. How many jump off the board to you today?
I got six. I got six I want to bet on today. I've got four I want to bet on tomorrow. By the time it's all said and done, I'll probably bet all 32. Let's not kid ourselves. But this is the time of year, you know, when I was younger, I used to fill the brackets out, and I'll have a bracket, but I don't want to dedicate too much bandwidth and emotion to the bracket when it's just an office pool, right? Like,
right.
I'm going to put 4 weeks and all this stress in when I'm going to have more money and juice on these opening games and I'd stand the wind on this bracket. So the reality is I'm trying to pick and pop these games, and I'm going to come right out of the gate today. First game up, Oklahoma, Rhode Island. Everyone I talk to loves Rhode Island here. Oklahoma had a lot of hype early in the season. Trae Young, the next Steph Curry. We all know how that story ended. I think they lost 8 of 11 down the stretch. They're limping into the tournament. They don't belong here. Rhode Island's a strong team. They're a well-coached team. Game open, pick 'em. Move to Rhode Island -2. I got guys that like it, and then I know some guys that love it. So first game up, 9:15 Pacific for me. I'm coming right out with Rhode Island. Now, as you work your way down the board today, the two other games that stand out as my favorites, a local one for you guys, Loyola Chicago plus the points against Miami, and then South Dakota State plus about 8 versus Ohio State. Those two stand out the most. Of all the guys I talk to, I try to build a consensus of the picks they give me, of the stuff they're leaning towards. Sometimes you got three or four guys that know what they're talking about on one side and three or four guys who know what they're talking about on the other. That's a wash. But these are the three games that stand out the most this morning with the consensus opinion of guys in Vegas. Laying it with Rhode Island, taking the points with Loyola, who could be a big-time dark horse this year, and then taking the points with South Dakota State. There are four others that jump off as playable for me. Houston -3.5 over San Diego State. A lot of people look at San Diego State as a darling this year. They've got them winning a couple games. I keep hearing Houston. St. Bonaventure, which had to play themselves into this game, they're catching about 6 against Florida. Florida's not nearly the team we remember from years back. They're okay, but the SEC in general, they've got some teams at the top end. You always see Kentucky. Tennessee had a decent run this year. They're on the 3 line. Florida isn't very strong, so take the points with St. Bonnie. Stephen F. Austin +11.5 against Texas Tech. I think a lot of people like Texas Tech to go deep in the bracket, but covering 11.5 is big in this spot. And then the last one for the day, laying the points with Gonzaga. Not a huge bet there, but Gonzaga's tourney-tested, good coaching. They'll come out and make the statement. So to recap the Thursday games we're looking at, three in the top tier. We like to lay the points with Rhode Island over Oklahoma. That's the first game up. We're going to take the points with Loyola over Miami, and we're going to take the points with South Dakota State over Ohio State. Then our next tier of games, lay it with Houston, take it with St. Bonaventure, take it with Stephen A. Austin, lay it with Gonzaga.
You know, we haven't had one person, and just, you know, Mully's an alum from Loyola, so, but everyone we've talked to, everything I've read, Washington Post, New York Times, you know, President Obama, everyone, I mean, I don't know
disaster.
If that's just validation or it makes you nervous.
Makes me very nervous.
You're saying everyone's liking Loyola?
Everybody.
Not everyone.
Yeah, everybody. Yeah.
Hey, Joe,
yeah.
Boomer just picked him, okay?
That's scary.
I mean, that's the kiss of death.
Scratch it. Dump back the Brinks truck up on Miami. Let's go Miami.
Yeah.
Fade them all.
Fade them all.
That's an interesting point, though, because there are situations where the last thing you want is to be in a spot where everyone's thinking the same thing, right?
Yep.
We all see it, Monday Night Football, all the analysts take the favorite, everyone's talking favorite, and then the underdog rolls them. But remember, there are these occasions where the public and the consensus opinion happens to be on the right side. I mean, we're not just talking Loyola for one game. There are enough people out there that think Loyola could win a couple games to be one of those very, very sleepy elite eight teams that just goes out and shocks everybody based on where they're at. So I'm not saying they get that deep. It is always troublesome if everyone's thinking the same thing, but I'm confident taking the points here. If this was one of those ones where I'd only talked to one or two guys, but there are a handful of people in Vegas who are lining up on Loyola, and the line movement supports it for our position.
Hey, before we get to your Friday picks, all the different books now have different ways, just like Super Bowl. They're trying to get your money, so there's survivor pools, like you said, and there's also you can bet the slate of games from that day and just circle the games you want. Do you do any of the future stuff, like just getting teams to a Sweet 16 or Final Four and taking the odds?
I don't mess with a lot of it. I'll play a couple future bets. Like if I see a team I like, maybe sitting 8-1, 10-1, something like that, I might put myself in a position where just to have an opportunity down the line to maybe hedge against. I don't do too much with it, though. There's so much this time of year going on that my focal point becomes trying to zero in on a few key spots and a few key angles. And I've learned in the past when I was younger that if you get too wrapped up in 32 different brackets you fill out and you're making 10 bets and you've got a bunch of future action, when you actually sit down, are you emotionally enjoying anything that you're watching? That's the biggest issue for me, is that the opening weekend, whenever I'm in Vegas watching the NFL, the first 45 minutes of the early games, I can't even enjoy myself because I'm trying to figure out which games on which TV. I got all this action. I got props. I got fantasy leagues. I got DFS. And you get to a point where it's like, look, at some point, whether it's sharp or not, I want to enjoy myself and I want to be able to relax. And the last thing you want with all the chaos of March Madness is to have 10,000 things taking place, where in one spot you're rooting for one thing, and then in another spot you're rooting against yourself. So I try to kind of limit the action. So I'll just bet all 16 games today and keep it simple.
What do you got going tomorrow?
All right, tomorrow right now we've got 4. I'll probably put more up on Twitter. I don't love it, but I'm going to lay the 20.5 with Purdue. I think they come out and make the big statement early on to back the Big Ten. And it's going to be interesting to see how the Big Ten performs in the tournament this year, given that their conference tournament happened a week ago. They're coming in with rest, so it could either be a disaster or it could be a good thing. Personally, I'm going to bet it's a good thing. I'm laying the points with Purdue. I've also got Michigan winning their region in the only bracket I'm filling out, and I have Michigan State winning their region. So I'm going to be big on the Big Ten. Might work out, might not, but I'm going to lay it with Purdue. I'm going to take the 2.5 with Providence over Texas A&M. I'm going to take the 5.5 with New Mexico State against Clemson, and that's my favorite pick of the day for tomorrow. So the 4 I'm giving you right now for tomorrow, the Tier 1 game is New Mexico State plus the points. Tier 2 would be Providence plus the points, lay it with Purdue, and then I'll take it with Charleston as well, 10.5 roughly, against Auburn.
Oh, you lost me when you had Loyola going being on the opening round, so I got nothing to say, Joe. Wow. I'm just shocked into silence.
Maybe this is your year, Molly. Maybe this is your year. You're in the Final Four. You're dancing. You go wherever the hell the Final Four is this year. What is it, San Antonio?
I don't.
Yes.
I don't.
You're down there. You're tailgating.
Yeah.
Think positive, baby.
I'll fall into the River Walk or whatever it's called.
It's 2 feet deep.
I'll still drown in it.
It is. It's 2 feet deep. They drain it and pick out long chairs
out of it. The amount
of
booze in my bloodstream at that point would be...
I've covered Final Fours there before. Believe me, you're ready to get out of there after that. But, Molly, tell...
Remember the Alamo.
Yeah, Tell Joe what your buddy, your Loyola friend told
you. Yeah, I have a friend who said, hey, listen, we got to get together and watch the game because the next time they play, we'll be in our 80s because in the tournament because they only get in once every 33 years.
So it's a bucket list thing for him.
I love it. I love it.
Joe, you're the best. Thank you, buddy.
Take care, boys. Enjoy the games today. Be smart with your money. Hanley, travel well. Enjoy Vegas.
Hey, if you change your mind, get a hold of me, all right?
Yeah.
Show up.
I know where it is. 2 a.m. Spearmint Rhino. I'll find it.
All right. All right. Our secret.
All right, Joe. That's our man in Vegas by way of San Francisco. Joe Fortenbaugh's the best. Molly and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.